This is an iHeart podcast.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. We'll talk about this FBI Elvis Chan guy, the Biden White House censoring, calling for censorship on Amazon, emails. I'll probably get to some calls later this hour. No, don't call yet. So much more still to come on the Jesse Kelly Show tonight. And remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right. I have known we were in trouble as a country as far as dividing, splitting up for a while. One of the most revealing things I've seen was a conversation I had with a Democrat a few years ago. And this was essentially how the conversation went. All that Black Lives Matter crap and all that garbage was taking place. And, of course, professional sports leagues bowed down to all that. We'll get to the Super Bowl stuff here in a minute. But they embraced every bit of that. Oh, America sucks and racism and all that other garbage. And athletes started revealing themselves to be as stupid as they really, most of them are. Oh, yeah, America, it does suck. It is very racist. Anyway, here's my $100 million contract and my Lamborghini. Anyway, so I'm talking to this guy, and he was arguing, of course, in favor of kneeling for the flag at the football games. Well, they should. America's racist. And I attempted to do the, well, don't you just want to watch the game? Sports is important for the country. It is. Sports in any society actually are important. Entertainment is important. It's part of how people push values, learn values. It's part of how people come together. There's a reason even a tiny tribe has sports, entertainment. It matters. It really does. I said, don't you just, when you turn on the game on Sunday, even though you agree with them, don't you just want to watch football? And I dropped this one on him. I told him, why do you want it to be political? Shouldn't be political. And he said, oh, it's always been political. And I kind of gave him the side eye. I really genuinely didn't understand what he was talking about. And I said, what are you talking about? It's always been political. No, this stuff's new. What are you talking about? And he said, yeah, right. They have the military there, don't they? They play the national anthem. And I remember I couldn't respond at first. I was sitting there with my jaw hanging half open, wondering if he realized what he just said. The national anthem is political? The national anthem is political? The military is political? And don't you realize what that means? What you just said? If you think the national anthem is a right-wing thing, what does that say about the left wing? What does that say about you? And so, look, this is in the news. Some idiot state rep out of Tennessee, Justin Jones is his name. He refused to lead the Pledge of Allegiance, called it performative patriotism.
Representative Jones has declined to say the prayer. He asked for someone else for their assistance, Leader Camper. Are you asking to help him lead?
Yeah. The Super Bowl is going to have 2 national anthems now, of course. They're going to have the actual national anthem and then what is known as the Black National Anthem. We cannot survive like this. We cannot survive lacking patriotism. Patriotism is not a side thing. Patriotism is the essential element to make sure your nation remains a nation. We cannot keep doing this. America's evil. America's horrible. The pledge is evil. Everything. We have to figure out how to get to the root of this problem. And that leads me to this. Legislation in Iowa, it's out that it could require children in school to sing the national anthem. Sing it in the classroom. Sing it at sporting events. And I'll be frank with you, I have mixed emotions about it. And this is why. Bans, laws, forcing things, they oftentimes are not as effective as you want them to be. I don't want to say they're never effective. That's not true at all. You ban something, make it against the law, throw people in jail who do it, you're going to get less of it. That's the bottom line. I want America's students and teachers to want to sing the national anthem more than I want them to be forced to sing it. But whatever we do, whether it's legislation or otherwise, we have got to increase the patriotism of this country. It is not hokey. It's not a side issue. It's not an eye-rolling thing. Oh, here we go, patriotism thing. It's everything. Listen to Mark Robinson. I love Mark Robinson. He's the lieutenant governor of North Carolina. I'm a big fan. I don't like speeches. Very rarely can someone give a speech and I'm all, yeah, that's right. Man, when Mark Robinson speaks, I listen. Why? Because we need a heaping helping of this stuff in this country.
Call me crazy, like those of us who believe in the Almighty, who have seen his works in our lives, who have seen his works in this nation, and know that through his wisdom and through his strength and through his divine intervention, which we pray for continuously on a daily basis, that this nation, no, I will not stop. This nation will survive. This nation will move forward. This nation will be what God wants it to be. And the people in it who want to destroy it, I send you a message today. There are warriors in your path, and you will have to defeat us to take this nation down, because we are here. We are ready. We are willing to fight, because what God has blessed us with will not go easily into the night.
Dang, that guy's awesome. All right, we're moving on. We have some other stuff. I need to address something before we get back to politics and we do some phone calls and whatnot. I am not sure how much longer I'm going to be doing the radio show, because I think I'm going to be coming into a little bit of money and I may retire. Why? Well, Burger King is offering a $1 million prize to a fan who can devise the best new Whopper. Now, listen, everyone knows Burger King is hot, stinky garbage. Everyone knows. It's the worst of the fast food joints. One of the most devastating moments of my life. You can defend Burger King in a second, Chris. One of the most devastating moments of my life. We had moved down to the Houston area from Dallas. I still can't get over the heartbreak. And they began building what was obviously going to be a fast food restaurant 5 minutes from my house, and it ends up being friggin' Burger King. Could have been anything, and ends up being Burger King. So the Whopper's garbage and Burger King's garbage. Everyone knows that. My burgers, however, are the greatest cheeseburgers in the history of mankind. When I enter this contest, and I will, hey, Chris, can you make sure we're entered in here? How do we enter into the contest? What, Chris, can you look it up, please, while I'm working? We need to enter the contest. I'm dead serious. When I enter this contest, I know, you know, everyone knows I'm going to win it. When I collect my $1 million, I'm probably going to retire. I'm probably going to retire permanently, so you should know that that's coming. Now, Chris, that is a very good point. They're famous for flame broiling their burgers, which is probably why they're so disgusting. A good burger is made on a flat top. It's never flame broiled. Burger King should know this, but I know more about burgers than Burger King, so I will educate them. Either way, I'm not sure how much longer I'm going to be doing the show. Dr. J, I just wanted to say thank you for taking the time in your show to talk about parenting and family issues. My 10-year-old son and I listen regularly, and he loves you. He's shy and quiet, so I have to force him to speak up and look people in the eye when talking to them. A week or two ago, we were listening when you said children as young as 5 should order for themselves in restaurants. I think that sparked a bit of shame in him because that night he spoke up and ordered for himself without any prodding. That's the first time I can remember him doing that. His mom, my wife, noticed as well and mentioned he seems to be getting more confident. Might seem like a small thing, but it's a big deal for us. Thanks, buddy. Says I can say his name. His name is Mike. Well, listen, you're not born with confidence. You know, confidence is something you have to acquire over your lifetime. You can't compliment somebody into it. I love you. I'm proud of you. Those are good things to say, but the only way a dude gets confidence is overcoming things, period. And I'm proud of your boy, too. For shy people, especially for kids, kids in general are shy when it comes to speaking to adults, speaking out to order when you're not used to it. Dude, it does take guts. And you are going to walk with your chest puffed out a little bit afterwards. We have to teach our kids, especially our young men and our young women. I shouldn't say just young men. We have to teach our children how to talk to people. They don't know anymore. Everyone has social media now, even adults. So people don't have conversations. We all have to have conversations. All right. Let's talk about the evil federal government after I get to some emails. But first, let's talk about protecting ourselves. Now, whenever you say protecting yourself, people automatically, I know I automatically think guns, knives, and ammunition, the cool stuff, right? But no one ever talks about gold coins, silver coins. We have to protect ourselves financially. Businesses, nations, banks, they are aware of what's going on globally right now. Very, very, very aware of it. What are they doing to protect themselves? They're buying gold. China has like $1 trillion of it. Gold. Buy some gold or silver. I don't care what color it is. Just call Oxford Gold Group and let them handle it for you. Get it in your IRA, your 401k. Did you know that right now you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals? Did you know that? Get a hold of them. 833-995-GOLD or oxfordgoldgroup.com/free. Go now.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. Speaking of evil women, listen to this freaking hag. Dr. Harriet Wims is her name. Of course, she's a doctor. Jesse, you're being over the top. They're not really after your kids. They're just being nice. Yeah, sure.
And I think if I were working with this client, I just might say, okay, your parents, unfortunately, they are transphobic. And I'm sorry. And let's figure out some ways to deal with their mental illness. And that might mean exactly as everyone else has said, having a home life and then ensuring that you have a social network somewhere that also supports who you are, like a D&D group, which we'll get to in a little bit, but ensuring that you have places and spaces where you can, in fact, be yourself.
What a demon. Your parents are transphobic. Come talk to me. We'll keep it secret from mom and dad. Let's chop your penis off. Freaking evil, man. All right, let's get to some emails before we get to the evil of the government. Oh, and you know what? It's time. Chris, what's the phone number again? 877-377-4373. That's the number. I knew it. It's been forever. That's how long it's been. Listen, it's been a long time, so I need to lay something out here. Yes, you can call me now. There are rules for phone calls on this show that are unlike other shows. Small talk is absolutely banned. I'm not going to thank you for the call. Don't ask me how I'm doing. Just get right into your point and get there quickly. And I need to stress that last part because that part I think we're lacking on a little bit. Get to the point quickly. I don't care if you're mad at me. I don't care if you're welcome to. You're welcome to argue with me, be mad at me. Now, you're not allowed to cuss. Whether you're happy with me or mad at me, you are not allowed to cuss. This is a family show. There are children listening. There is no cussing allowed on this radio show. There never will be. Nothing inappropriate that kids cannot listen to. People listen as a family. But you need to get to your point quickly. Really, really quickly. All right? Name? I'm going to call out your name and location, and I'm going to say go when you get to your point. Now, that said, tonight, there's not even an agenda. You have something you want to discuss? Quickly, discuss it. 877-377-4373. All right? All right, Jesse, you played the clip of the pastor decrying the notion of church taking a stand in politics. In my gutless city of communist domination, I drove past a local church on the morning after the 2020 election, and the big sign in the front read, "Praise the Lord, Christ is King, and Biden is President." Listen, this is what frustrates me to no end about churches, about the American church. The communist churches in this country, and there are many of them, they boldly politic. They will boldly get up there behind the pulpit and proclaim the beauty of communism. They'll tell people to go vote Democrat. You see this all over the place. You got these lesbian pastors now all over the place. I think those are Methodists, some of the Methodist church. You have black churches across America preaching open Marxism, which is black liberation theology. America sucks. America's evil. You remember Obama's pastor? U.S. of KKKA. Go vote Joe Biden. Screw these evil Republicans. And then you get to the churches in these supposed red areas, rural Texas, and you get these skinny jeans wearing dork pastors. Well, I mean, I don't want to speak to, I shouldn't talk about abortion. I don't want to do a voter registration drive. What if I get some angry emails on Monday? I mean, my goodness, I might just soil my granny panties. It makes me nuts that the wrong people, the evil people, are bold and good people are timid. Why is the American church timid when it comes to politics? You should be leading. But we don't want to offend anybody. Pastor, let me explain something to you, especially about young men. Young men need leadership, and they will follow bold leadership. Even if they disagree with some things about the leadership, they will follow bold. They will follow courageous. It's how men are. You're not losing people when you talk about politics. You're getting the right people when you talk about politics. You will gain people. People are hungry for bold now. They want leadership now more than ever. So stop sitting and stressing about the angry emails. What about my tithe money? And get up there and speak boldly about the evils of our culture. These people are speaking boldly.
Let me cut to the chase. Virginity is a completely made-up concept. It's a term that was created simply to control and shame people, mainly women. Mm. A virgin is someone who's never had sex, but it's not as simple as it.
But the pastor can't get up and make a cultural statement because he's worried about angry freaking emails. Gosh, that drives me crazy. All right. The Amazon Files stuff is, it's not surprising. You're not going to be surprised by any of it, but it's probably worth taking apart a little bit just how weaponized the government has become against us. We have FBI news, Joe Biden administration news, whether they're really tracking you, if you made a purchase at Bass Pro Shop. We have to dig into all that, and we will next.
Jesse Kelly, back soon.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, making your dreams come true here on a Tuesday night. What, Chris? You're the one who played the song. Did you not think I was going to go somewhere with that? I can't help. Look, the magic just comes out of me sometimes. All right. I am going to give you my thoughts on the impeachment vote in total about a half hour from now, in case you don't know what I'm talking about. I was waiting for all the facts to come in. They just had the impeachment vote on Alejandro Mayorkas. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot. We're doing real journalism here.
It's Journalist Jesse.
There's just no one better.
We love Jesse. He's the best.
Jesse, please kiss my baby.
Jesse, 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 Jesse.
All right, I'm going to say something that's going to make you angry, but just maybe you shouldn't be that mad yet. The impeachment vote on Alejandro Mayorkas failed. They had a vote, an official vote on the House floor, whether or not to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas, and it failed. It failed 214 to 216. Now, stay with me. You know I hate details, right? Because details destroy a story. Destroy a story. You get too focused on them, people get bored, and they tune out, and your story's crap. But the details matter here. Pay attention. We just lost 216 to 214. They voted to not impeach Mayorkas. Steve Scalise, this is going to matter. Just stay with me. Steve Scalise is out receiving cancer treatment, so he was unable to vote in any way. So Steve Scalise was not there. You still with me? Stay with me. There were four Republicans who defected and voted with the Democrats to vote no on impeaching Mayorkas. Those four Republicans are, of course, Ken Buck, unsurprisingly. I've given you my thoughts on him many times. I believe he is compromised, being blackmailed. That I've always believed. I believe he's being bribed or blackmailed. Ken Buck, Mike Gallagher, Tom McClintock, and Blake Moore. Pause on Blake Moore for a moment. Okay, Ken Buck, Gallagher, McClintock, screw all three of those guys. Guys, pause on Blake Moore for just one moment. You hear me out before you start sending him a bunch of nasty emails. From what I understand, I just got a text from someone. I'm trying to confirm this with more people, but the person who just texted me explained to me that what Blake Moore did actually may have saved impeachment for Mayorkas. I won't bore you with the details of why, but basically by him voting no today, it allowed them to bring the impeachment vote back to the floor next week when Steve Scalise is out of cancer treatment. And he did something, Blake Moore did something procedural, and I don't know Blake Moore, I'm not defending him. He might be a worthless piece of crap, but this is what I got from somebody. He did something procedural that would allow them to vote on impeachment again next week once Steve Scalise is back. And if Steve Scalise votes yes, Blake Moore votes yes, maybe they whip another one or two depending on who's there, who's not, impeachment goes through. As of right now, it failed. Ken Buck's a piece of crap. So's Mike Gallagher. So's Tom McClintock. Worthless, low T. Probably blackmailed. Probably all three of them are compromised. I will always believe that. Don't pour the hate on Blake Moore just yet till this impeachment thing's all the way done. Now, I'm going to give you my total thoughts on this failure in 20, 30 minutes from now. I just don't want to do it quite yet till I cross the T's and dot the I's on a couple things. But until that time, Bjorn, Colorado, go.
My father, who voted Republican his entire life, died in August of 83, and since then he has voted Democrat every election.
How do you know this?
My son looked up the voting records for him in Arizona.
That's so terrible. Thank you, Bjorn. Listen, one of the weirdest stances I've seen from the right, from various pundits and congressmen on the right, one of the weirdest stances is, oh gosh, stop talking about election fraud. Stop talking about cheating in elections. Democrats have pretty much publicly stated that they cheat in elections. When the stance of your party is no voter ID, there's only one reason you would want no voter ID. It's so you can cheat. That their public stance is we intend to cheat. There's not a second reason. There's only one reason. They cheat in elections. They always have. They always will. That doesn't mean we sit them out. That doesn't mean we throw up our hands and say it's all over. That does not mean that at all. But of course they cheat in friggin' elections. Of course they do. They always have. It's not exactly new. Paige, Idaho, go.
Hi. The reason I think that they are letting people come across the border is, and I've only heard one Democrat say this, with replacement theory, is they need people to pay for Medicare. So when these people go to Social Security, when these people go to work, they'll start paying taxes because we don't have enough testosterone. We're not making babies.
Oh, gosh. I have heard that as well, that they want these people in here for the money. It doesn't really hold up with the Cloward-Piven strategy of wanting these people here to collapse the system. Maybe there are some Democrats that want them here for that. It's about money and power. That's what it's about, money and power. Democrats get more money and more power by destroying the country, period, end of story. And a lot of Republicans do, too. Doug, Virginia, go.
Yes, I'd like to call Jesse on your knowledge or your opinion about a couple of things here. It's been reported that there's 25,000 illegal Chinese across the border lately, and it's out there. I researched this. There's 380,000 acres has been bought by the Chinese. My first point is, does anyone know if these illegals are on or about or coming and going on that property? And the
I don't know whether or not, I've heard this as well. Now, there are two things that are facts, two things that are absolute facts. One, China is buying up land in the country. They are not only buying up land in America, they are buying land close to military bases, adjacent to military bases in America. Now, that I know. I also know the second part. Military-aged Chinese males are coming across the southern border by the thousand. What I don't know is what they're doing here. And nobody knows because they're not tracking these illegals. They bring them into the country, hand them a cell phone and a $5,000 prepaid Visa card, and they say, well, maybe we'll see you in a year at your court date, but I doubt it, and then they're gone. It's not like we attach a tracking device to these people like there's some kind of great white shark in the middle of the ocean. We don't know where they are. I have told you before, I have a lot of concerns about, well, let's just focus on the China thing, but this would apply to terror. It would apply to Russia. Remember, we've been killing Russians. Our munitions have been killing Russians. We have not been fighting a proxy war. We've been fighting a war war. Proxy wars are supposed to be kind of quiet. My concern is this. If you were a nation state, or you were a terror cell, or you were anybody, and you wanted to really, really do things to cripple this country, now's the time you would send in your men to do so. I don't have any. They might be just a bunch of farmers, Chinese farmers, for all I know. But how many men would you need if you're China to do real damage to this country? Talking rail lines, water treatment plants, power grid. You have, let's say you trained these guys up and shipped them over the border. You're worried about a hot war with America because of Taiwan. You're telling me you wouldn't send guys in here to wreck some things while you were doing that? No. All right. 877-377-4373. Again, I'm going to give you my full thoughts on the impeachment failure in about 15 minutes from now. That's when I'm going to break all that stuff down before I do that. Failure, obviously that hurts. But listen, it hurts to fail. I know. It hurts to fail. It hurts me knowing that I failed every dog I ever had before Fred. I didn't know, but I failed them with the food I gave them. If you only give your dog food, you never give your dog a chance to live longer and better. Isn't that sad? I think about that with my old dogs. European dogs don't die at 10. They don't give their dogs dead food. I'm not saying they're better than us. They're not, but their food is. Pour rough greens on your dog's food because there's no nutrition in your dog's food. It's dead. It's brown for a reason. They killed everything in it. And so our dogs, they get horrible breath, bad digestion. The coat gets dull, bad joints, no energy. That's not normal. That's what a dog gets without nutrition. Go to roughgreens.com/Jesse and try a free jumpstart trial bag for your dog or call 833-33-MY-DOG.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. On a Tuesday, Chris, not a Monday, a Tuesday. Chris screwed that up earlier, told me it was a Monday. I had to correct him on the air. It's a Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show and should. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Look, here's another little bit of inside baseball. I'll get back to the calls in a minute, and I'm going to give you my impeachment thoughts in about 10 minutes. But here's another. Here's another thing to consider, another little inside baseball thing I'm hearing. You know how I've been telling you for the longest time, I think the system's going to kick Joe Biden out. He'll resign for health reasons or whatever. From what I get, that conversation is picking up serious steam in D.C. They're getting more and more worried that they can't get this guy across the finish line.
There is some movement. And I don't want to maybe choose my words. There's some movement. There's been a response from the.
Yeah, you got it. From what I understand, now this is the rumor mill. This is just the rumor mill, but it's from the DC rumor mill, which is normally pretty accurate. The only thing holding them back now from kicking President Poopy Pants out is they don't know what to do with Dome. They don't know what to do with Newsom. Who do you pick? You pick one. Maybe the people want another. They know Dome is unpopular with virtually everybody unless she's trying for a job. She's always been unpopular. Newsom didn't do so well in that debate with DeSantis, and that's being really, really nice. They don't know what to do. But I'm not so sure Joe is going to be there. Matt, I don't know what state you're from because the call screener accidentally deleted it, but whatever, Matt. What's your problem about me and my cheeseburgers?
Well, I mean, you're bragging about being able to cook a hamburger better than the Whopper. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sorry, like, color me unimpressed. Secondly, like, I mean, what's next? You're going to tell us you make a barbecue sandwich better than a freaking McRib? Wow, dude. Wow.
You know, that's not very nice, Matt. That's not very nice at all. Although that was a solid point. Nick in Washington, go.
Hey, Jesse. I called about a year ago about my wife wanting to get an abortion.
Yes.
And you suggested me getting an ultrasound. And so we did, and she decided to keep the baby. And we gave birth to a beautiful girl. The ultrasound revealed cancer that was in my wife's uterus that they said they probably wouldn't have found until it was too late. So, I mean, really, we saved two lives there.
Oh.
So I just want to say thank you and keep doing God's work.
Praise God, man. Nick, what's your baby girl's name? You don't have to say on the air if you don't want, but what's your baby girl's name?
Emily Rose.
Emily Rose. What a beautiful name. Nick, Please, is your wife okay? Is she okay?
She is okay. She's been in remission the last month. They did surgery about a month and a half ago. So far, cancer seems to be gone. But we're still doing doctor's appointments and everything. But
that is... Nick, congratulations to you, your wonderful bride, and Emily Rose. That is, oh, gosh, I friggin' love that, man. That's what it's all about right there. Look, I told you about preborn, man. The ultrasound, it might be the ultimate tool in the fight against abortion. Once a woman hears that heartbeat, it's not a clump of cells anymore. It's not an inconvenience. It's her baby. It becomes her baby. That's why preborn sets up these clinics in these high abortion areas, man. And look, it's awesome. I really appreciate preborn. I appreciate what y'all do. I appreciate your prayers for Nick. I remember that call. I remember Nick was very concerned about his baby. Look, $28 buys that ultrasound. $28. Preborn.com/Jesse. That story you just heard on the phone, that story's been repeated by you many, many times because of what you give to Preborn, so thank you. Preborn.com/Jesse, all right? Let's keep that going. Gosh, that's friggin' amazing. John, Tennessee, go.
Sir, I live about 20 minutes outside of Jonesboro, which is Tennessee's oldest town. And once upon a time, Andrew Jackson came to town before he was president, when he was a lawyer, and he really angered a lot of the locals for something. I don't remember. Long story short, he ended up with a lynch mob out in front of his hotel that night. And Jackson was completely unfazed by it, and he sent out a messenger to say, I will happily deal with everybody in turn, send the leader of your mob in first. So the mob was like, oh. Ran and went home.
Andrew Jackson was such a boss. I'll deal with you all in turn. Send in the leader first so I can take care of business with him. Gosh, I love Andrew Jackson. What a beast. Brody, Atlanta, go.
Hey, Hefe, I have a stupid question, man. Why are the Democrats blue when the communists are red and Republicans should just take back blue?
It's not a stupid question. It's a great question because the Democrats did this on purpose. A lot of people don't realize this. Democrats are obviously blue now. That's their color. And Republicans are red. It used to be the exact opposite in this country. It used to be that Republicans were blue and Democrats were red. But because Democrats for the longest time have had a, how do we want to put this? Curiosity with communism? That's being real, real nice. Now they are communists, but they were always communist curious, if you wanted to put it a certain way. And they realized that. And also Democrats are so much better at messaging and changing language than Republicans are. Republicans are too spineless and weak and stupid. So Democrats, over time, now they did this with the aid of the media and the education system. It obviously is a big benefit to have those groups, those cultural institutions in your back pocket. But over time, they managed to switch. Now it's Democrat blue and it's Republican red. And they did it specifically because they're communist adjacent and didn't like how it looked that Democrat red was a thing. Again, look, that's just a little brief history on it, but it shows you how smart and purposeful they are. All right. I am going to get back to more of these. 877-377-4373. But before I do that, I am going to give you my thoughts on the failed impeachment vote. Assuming it fails again next week, which I don't know, but I'm going to give you my thoughts on that next.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.